Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministry. And we are so delighted to be on our radio broadcast on tonight. I give reverence to God, who is the head of my life, who is my life, and to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places. We just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God and to pray prayer, praise, and prophesy on tonight. We give God all reference and praise on tonight. We give him glory. We magnify him on tonight. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order. We're going to have a short devotion, a song, a scripture, and a prayer. And we're going to go right into the word, into our study word tonight. Amen. Amen.
Take me to the King, don't have much to bring. My heart's lonely, sleepless, it's my offering. Take me to the King. Truth is a path, options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do. Truth is I'm weak. No strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try. But still my soul refuses to die. One death will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. To gaze upon your glory.
Thank you.
I don't have much strength. My heart's torn to pieces. Here's my offering.
Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 86. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and does wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. I just read Psalms 86 and it's entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we come on tonight just giving you praise and glory, just honor, Lord. We just thank you tonight. We're so grateful that you're our God. We give you glory. We give you praise, Lord. And we magnify you today. We lift your name up today. Father, I just thank you today. I thank you so much for lifting up a bow down head, Lord. You're just so good, so kind, so great, just so awesome. I just thank you. Can't thank you enough, and we give you praise. But first of all, we want to bind up the strong man from our radio broadcast on tonight. We want to bind up the strong man from our lives in the name of Jesus. You said if we bind up, whatever we bind up on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is already loose in heaven. Father, we bind him now, and every demon that's on assignment, his assignment is canceled right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we bind up the strong man right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we bind him up from our lives and everyone under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask you to anoint our radio broadcast, our study on tonight, Lord. Teach us, Holy Spirit, let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, may teach and minister to us on tonight. And I have no knowledge of myself, but only of Christ Jesus. And I just thank him on tonight. Thank him for his word. And we're asking you to send your anointing. Let the power fall on tonight, Lord. Send your anointing. Open up our minds and open up our hearts, that we may be receptive to receive this word, Lord. Just open up our spirit, man. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let us not put a limit on what you're teaching us. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise on tonight. We give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. We just give God honor and we give God glory tonight. He is such an awesome God tonight. I just thank and praise God for what he's doing in our lives. I just thank him tonight. God is so good. He's so good. I just give him praise on tonight. It's so many things that we're going to, in the coming weeks, that we're going to be going through. And I know it's nothing but God that's teaching us new things, things that he wants us to know that we don't know. But he wants us to know. So I left my other Bible upstairs, but that's all right. I got the one God want me to read out of this one because I would have remembered it. But we're going to be still talking about dreams and vision. And it's going to get better as we go on. It's going to get better and better. So tonight we're going to be talking about the positive or negative, the good or bad in dreams and visions. Symbols, like most words, can be used both positively and negatively. For instance, when we use the word cool, we may be referring to something good or something bad. The soup is cool may mean that the soup is cool enough to eat or that it needs to be reheated. This room certainly is cool may mean that the heat needs to be turned up or that the temperature feels good to someone who just came in from the summer heat. Additionally, to say that someone is cool may mean that the person is not friendly or that he or she needs a jacket. It may even indicate an admiration because the person has it all together. You know, like you said something, she cool. Likewise, almost all symbols can have both positive, which is good, and or negative, which is bad meaning. The following scripture explains usage each of two metals, brass and iron, as a symbol with two different, though related, meanings. And I had looked at this in the Word of God. It's in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 17. Let me turn to this because I want to. This ain't the Bible I want, but what God got me here. Verse 17, he says, "For brass, the letter of the law." That's what brass is in this scripture, the letter of the law. "I will bring gold." Let me read the scripture for you first. "For brass, I will bring gold, and for iron, I will bring silver, and for wood, brass, and for stone, iron, I will also make thy officers peace and thy extractors righteousness." So it's an interpretation of that. "For brass is the letter of the law. That I would bring gold, I would bring wisdom." And it says, "And for iron, earn me bondage. I will bring, and then he says next, I will bring silver. And silver means knowledge or redemption. And for wood is the work of the flesh. Brass here is God's grace or truth. And for stones mean accusations, witnessing against you. You know, somebody making an accusation or something against you. Iron, in another instance, means strength or justification. I will also make thy officers peace and thy extractors righteousness. Initially, brass is used to symbolize the laws of Moses. Then it is employed to symbolize God's word of grace and truth. The bondage of the law is symbolized by iron, which then comes to represent the power of the Holy Spirit given to Christians who are justified through Christ. Now, that was just something right there, the way he broke everything down in this thing. But you have to keep a really open mind in this. And you have to let discernment and the Holy Spirit minister. So in the next scripture, notice how the symbol for people, tree, is used both positively and negatively, both in a good and bad sense. And all the trees are people, of the field is the world, shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high trees. The high trees, and this is in Ezekiel 17:24, says, and I, the Lord, have brought down the high trees. The high trees are haughty people, have exalted the low trees, which is the humble people, person, have dried up the green trees, the corner person, and have made the dry trees, repented person, dead with Christ, to flourish. That's good, because if you don't never know and get into this, I never would have thought this, but when we dream in something, we have to keep an open mind. Now, when God tells you something, God says what he means, and he means what he say, and we can't put words in God's mouth. So, but when you dream of something, it can mean a whole different things. And I'm reading it out. The Bible said, and all the trees of the field, all the trees mean people, and the field mean the world, should know that I am the Lord, have brought down the high trees, which is the haughty people, and have exalted the low trees, which is the humble people, and have dried up the green trees, which is the corner people, and have made the dead trees flourish, people flourish. That's awesome, because when you start to looking at these scriptures like that, the interpretation is different. And a lot of times, if you have it in Greek or Hebrew, it's going to come out different like this. So the most important thing to remember about interpreting symbols is never be narrow-minded. Symbols like words are very flexible. These are dreams now. We're not changing the scripture. And are very flexible. When we know the context of a dream and the circumstances of a dreamer's life, we can properly assign the right meaning. Without this knowledge, we can only guess. Without this knowledge. For instance, it is possible for an ant in a dream to mean several different things. I'm talking about a bug, an ant. One meaning comes directly from the Bible. Others come from our personal experience. In the keyword dictionary, I have found several possible meanings. These include the following: industrial, wise, diligent, prepare for the future, nuisance, singing, or angry words. The contents of the dream must determine which meaning to use in your interpretation. When one dreams of an ant at a picnic, the content would obviously lead toward nuisance as the meaning of the symbol, even though it is their industrial nature that makes them such a nuisance. To dream of an ant gathering food would relate directly to the keyword definition of industrial, diligent preparation for the future. Likewise, dreaming of being bit or stung by an ant would fit the stinging or angry words definition. Sometimes a symbol has a meaning to one person that would not fit another. That example of the blue car, which we used earlier, could only mean that the past to someone who has previously owned such a car. Another example is a pet dog. A dog is usually a symbol for an unclean spirit or attitude such as strife or contention. But dreaming about your own pet dog, which you love, would normally symbolize something good and something close to you that you cherish, not something bad. So I know a lot of times when you dream of a wolf, something like a lion, but I know a wolf because I've seen the wolf. I've seen him trying to put fear in me. I've seen this wolf face looking at me. And, you know, I said, well, I'm not scared of you. You know, I tell him I ain't scared of you. I'm not afraid of you. So, you know, I bind you up. But when you dream of a wolf or you have a vision of a wolf or something that would frighten people, they trying to scare you. They trying to not manipulate, but they just trying to instill fear in you. And that God don't give us a spirit of fear. So when you see a wolf trying to, you know, and growl and stuff, you know they're trying to make you scared or fear. So in God, you know it's the enemy because God don't give us a spirit of fear. So I used to have to bind them up all the time because when you see one in a dream or a vision, you know that's the only thing they could be there for. That's the devil sent them. When we are trying to determine the object and the subject of a dream, we should ask ourselves the question, who does this dream refer to, and what is it really about? Likewise, when we are trying to decipher a symbol, the first question we should ask is, what does this symbol mean to me? Like the pet dog previously mentioned, only the pet owner would recognize it, correct meaning when used as a symbol in his or her dream. You know, because we know, because our dogs, our pets mean something. It means we love them. And so they're not coming to hurt us. Some instance, God will use names that rhyme, puns and riddles and proverbs, almost anything imaginable to hide the truth from our old man, the corner man, when he speak to us in the night. He be trying to get a message to us that he don't want the old man to see or to know. God, who created the heavens and the earth and all things therein, has boundless imagination, has a boundless imagination. If we are going to keep up with him, we must stretch our imagination. He uses the stars to represent Abraham's dependence, the sun to characterize himself, the moon to portray the church, the lamb to illustrate his little children, and the wolf to describe their enemies. He can and will use almost anything to get his point across. And he's right, because once I had a vision that I saw car lights, but they were angels. And the last time, maybe 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, I had a vision, and it was so many lights, I couldn't even count. I said, look at all those angels. I mean, they was just everywhere, but it was dark, and I could see just light, just as far as I could see. I say angels is all around. I just thank and praise God for that. But I'm glad see, one time when I was working for Doris, and I was having a bout with this demon, and I described him to y'all. He was like Huck Finn. That's how his pants would fit him. He was real built, and he had dread and eyes kind of buff, and he was a black guy. He was a black demon. I say that. One no guy, he was a demon. But he would always mess with doors. And when I would come, he would get out. So then he knew he couldn't scare me. So he was trying to instill fear in me, like if somebody's going to break in or something like that. So that night I sit up all night. I was just hearing little things like somebody was messing around the house and stuff. And so I didn't get no sleep all that night. So when daylight came and stuff, it got about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, Lord, I'm so tired. I've been up all night hearing things. And I could hear the Spirit of the Lord say, go to the window. So I went to the front window. And when I looked out the window, the man across the street was coming out of his house. And when he came out the door, he turned around to lock it. And when he turned around to lock it, it had police on the back of his, across the back of his jacket. And the Lord was letting me know that you got a police stand right across in front of you. And I'm here. You don't have no reason to be afraid of nobody breaking in. And man, that did me all the good in the world, honey. You couldn't tell me nothing then. And that's how God speaks to us. If I hadn't obeyed him and got up and looked out the window, I wouldn't have never knew my neighbor was a police right across in front of me. So it's a lot of things we have to keep an open mind, because like I told you the other day, and I've heard it a couple of times today, that song, I'm looking for a miracle and something impossible and all that. So I know a miracle coming for me. I don't have a doubt about it. A miracle coming soon for me. I know that, because God, he don't let me forget it. I mean, I'm a walking miracle, but I'm saying God is going to do something. So I know it's a miracle coming, that something I did not expect, and something that I'm probably looking forward to. I don't know what it is, but I know it's something. But we just have to keep our minds open for it, what God is doing. God would speak to a plumber using a pipe or a wrench, and that's not another thing. He speaks to people on what they do, the experiences they have. Like, he would probably speak to me, like, in nursing or the medical field or something like that. Like it says, he speaks to a plumber using a pipe or a wrench or plugs up drains or fire plugs, but he will employ completely different symbols when he talks to a doctor or a teacher. That's what I'm talking about. He used things that we can recognize so he can get his point across. I've heard some really, really dreams because they always call me to interpret them. So I've heard some really different things. And God uses these to speak to each of us at one time or another. Many of these common symbols, such as objects, actions, people, places, and so forth, are listed and expanded on in the keyword dictionary. So now we're going to begin. We're going to start talking about. We're just going to talk a little bit about the number of ways to interpret the symbols. But anyway, have you ever dreamed that you won the lottery? The waking, you couldn't remember the winning numbers. Frustrating. Equally frustrating is dreaming of looking for a specific house or room number, and although you wake up remembering the number, you have no idea what it means. I remember one time God gave me a lottery number, and I said it was God because I won. I didn't play because I was real stingy and tight then, and I wouldn't put a 50-cent box on the number, and it hit, just like I played it. But if I had to put $10 on it, I would have had a lot of money. But I just figured it wasn't from God because it was lottery. Have you ever dreamed of getting on an elevator and going to the 9th floor? This may mean good things are headed, but if you dream of getting off on the 11th on the 10th floor, it could be bad news. Although numbers are rare common in dreams, most books about dreams just ignore them. This one doesn't. We're going to be studying about a lot of numbers. We're going to know what every number means in our dreams, that come in our dreams. Many dream symbols are relatively easy to interpret because they have a limited number of applications. For instance, an apple in a dream can represent sin, as when Eve ate the forbidden fruit, or it can portray appreciation as when a child gives an apple to a teacher. A sour apple may refer to a person with a bad disposition, and a big apple may even represent New York City because it's well known as the Big Apple. Dreaming about a basket of apples may signify that one is fruitful, bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. Or the apple may refer to wise counsel, as in Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Dreaming of a rotten apple may mean one is keeping bad company, as in one rotten apple spoils the whole barrel. And this is just to say that God will speak to you. You could be sitting down watching Chicago PD, and God would, if he want to speak to you, he'll use one of them characters on that to say something that you're familiar with. This happened to me so many times, and it would scare me. I cut the TV off. But he would be trying to talk to me and talk to you. So When you dream of something that you don't understand and you ask God to help you with it, He'll use anything and anybody you understand that dream. He will definitely do it. So when you have to get ready and prepared for what you may dream and hear and say, you know, what he may say to you. You know, even with the song, the music, it means something. It means something. So you have to get ready for that. Don't fear. Don't be afraid, because like I said, you're going to be dreaming even the more. You're going to start in having visions. Sometimes when you laying around or you sitting around and you relax, lay your head back and meditate for a minute. God will take you, because God, it's so many times when I just lean my head back, sometimes he'll make me do it when I'm praying. I'll be fighting everything I can to stay awake, and he just wants me to relax and be quiet and lean back. And so he'll take me off into a vision while I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, I done fell asleep, but that ain't what it was. That's not what it is. He be showing me things, and I have to realize what he's doing. And that's why I say you keep an open mind, because God works in mysterious ways. And we don't know the things he'll do, the length he'll go to show us something. You know, everything means something, I tell you. And don't lean to your own understanding. Let God help you with it, because I was laying in the bed about a week ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, after I got my fish tank and got fishing, and I was laying in the bed, and then I started thinking about the marine spirit. I was like, Lord, I'm getting that thing out of here, but that's not what that is. I was just tripping that night. I was like, everything. I said, Lord, just help me, you know, because I shouldn't even be thinking like that, but you have to keep in mind what could happen or what he might be saying. But you can't go overboard, and you can't sit up and just think of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Just like I did something about these marine spirits and stuff, because I had went and got a doggone fish tank. You can't do that. But you got to have discernment enough to listen to the spirit, the Holy Spirit, because he will let you know. He'll let you know now when you have dreams. It's a communication. It's a message for you. Most of the time, mostly when you have dreams, it's about you. It's something about you that God is trying to get a message over to you. And like I said, if you're so busy all the time where he cannot speak to you, because sometimes he just be wanting to speak to you while you wait. But you be so busy with everything, that's me. This man always stay on, I'm telling you. I got in the car the other day, started the car up. I let the garage door up. I put it in reverse and let the car door down, the garage down, start backing up. And if a apostle hadn't told me to stop, I would have tore the whole garage door down. But that's my mind was just so tied up on, got to go here, we got to do this, we got to do that. But you need to have your mind clear sometime. And I know we have so many things. I know we work, we go to school, we study, you know, the word of God. We're trying to support this person. You don't have time for nothing else. It's hard for him to speak to you because you got all of this going on. You don't have time, even hardly for yourself. We have to make time for God. We have to, and I'm telling y'all, set aside some time for God. If it ain't but 15 minutes, because he wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us. If you would do it, I tell you, God will give you a vision in the daytime while your eyes wide open. He'll show you something right there in the daytime. If you would set aside some time for God, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and God will take you. That's what I'm talking about, because God have things to sell us, but he just don't, we don't have the time, or he sometimes be telling me, because it's been times where he didn't gave me scriptures, and I know the word of God said something about, he said once and he said twice, but honey, it's been plenty of times he like, hey, you missed it, because you need to have time for me to talk to you. So I would catch the tail end and go find the scripture. I Google sometimes and just try to find that scripture. But if I can't, I can't. But then I've been and missed it. Pray and ask God, what he say? He'll say something else to you, but you have to show enough, be ready. So we're going to talk about how symbols get their meaning. Okay. Can I jump over? Oh, no, we're going to talk about how symbols get their meanings. There are four primary ways that symbols acquire specific meanings. One which is probably the most common way is by the symbol's inherited character. Because a symbol's basic characteristics are the same the world over. This is sometimes referred to as the symbol's universe, meaning, for instance, in the Bible, God used innocent lambs to represent his children and merciless wolves to describe their enemies. The descriptive nature or character of these two animals clearly illustrate what they're depicting. Another example is the inherent characteristic of a motorcyclist. Now, I had been reading on something like that where it's just what a motorcycle stands for. A motorcyclist often symbolizes pride and rebellion because of the attitude of many of them that have it or exhibit individuality or even the loner or other possibilities meaning, because cyclists are usually ridden alone. You can put two people on there, but most of the time you see them, they're alone on their motorcycle. It's just one person on the motorcycle. Besides the rider's attitude, two characteristics of the machine itself are speed and agility, noise. Okay, and when one dreams of a motorcycle, the dream's content usually indicates which meaning applies, like noise, speed, and just like the games that have these motorcycles, they have attitudes, they're angry and agitated and stuff like that. And so when you see a person on a motorcycle in a dream, that's what you pick up. Another way a symbol may obtain a specific meaning is through a dreamer's personal experience, an object or an animal, a person, a color, or location. Okay. Yes, I can. You can say it out loud. Yeah, I'll look it up for you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let me look here. You say a spider, okay. Let me see. If I can try now, let me see. I know they got stuff in here about animals. Let me see. We really have to keep an open mind. They hung up. They hung up, yeah. They hung up. Thank you for praying. Because I can feel my heart had started beating fast, and I didn't make them. They was muted. They probably was chanting and stuff. But I didn't unmute them. So went. But that's okay. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it was a witch on the line. I should have called out like I always do. I see a black widow. Danger, great danger, deadly, evil slander, but the tongue can no man tame. It's talking about a tongue up under that. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So a spider is something like a tongue. The tongue, somebody saying bad things or something like that. Let me see. Spider. I see spider. Evil, saying deception, false doctrine, temptation, tenacious. Web, the web of a spider equals snares, lies, as in what tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. And the scripture here is, there be four which are lit up on the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The spider taketh hold with her hands, works, and in its king's palace. So it's the scripture. See Romans 6 and 16. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24, in verse 28. And let me see, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and net, and her hands as bands or webs. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Ecclesiastes 7 and 26. So, somebody running their mouth and trying to deceive people. Lies. Deceiving people. It's deception. Mm-hmm. That's what the spider. Let me see. I don't see nothing about a bite. But no, I don't see nothing about a bite, but I will find out. I'll find out. But yeah, we just have to really pay attention. Mm-hmm. Just like that. You know, when it's animals that can hurt you, like a snake, like a spider or something like that, you have to always know that a snake is a snake, a spider is a spider. They'll bite you. They're not friendly. They're not friendly in real life. They're not friendly. And when you have stuff like that, you see stuff like that in a dream, you know that they out for opposition and they're not friendly. So you have to know that for one. Okay, where were we? And out of the ground, okay. We was talking about a motorcyclist made me a sudden calamity to you. Another more probable example in your pet or dog or cat, either one may denote something precious to you because of your love for it. In another case, someone unfamiliar with your childhood home or toys would not see them the same way you do. And that's the truth, because God speaks to us in ways that we understand. And he's trying to, mostly every dream we have is concerning us. It's to us. It's to us. It's something he's trying to show us something. So he's going to use stuff from our childhood, like when I was telling you about the snake I dreamed about the other day. And then when I told Apostle Beans, he was saying, well, you dreamed about the snake after I dreamed about the snake. And he was saying that the snake he dreamed about was like he was a kid. And they all stayed with their mom and grandmama and the daddy or whoever and the uncle and stuff, and said the mama and the grandmama would feed this big snake, and the snake lived up under their house. And he would keep all of the coons and foxes and stuff away. So they didn't want to run them away. They let him stay there. And the mom and them was feeding, and then he was getting fed again by the rats and stuff, and they just left him there. But in my dream, he had the snake, and he was like showing me the snake. I'm saying, you know, a snake is an enemy. You know that. You know, I'm telling him, because I'm like in a vision. I'm talking to him. Look, you know that ain't right. A snake is a snake, and he an enemy. He a devil. He a this. He that. And it was like he was saying, no. It ain't like that. So that's what that was. But then I could take it so many other ways because of what had happened the day before. And so, but God don't deal with whatever it is. Whatever happens, if anything happened or somebody tried to do this, they can't mess with me. So, anyway, I'm praying for them and asking God to forgive them and to bless them. Okay. A third way symbol acquired meaning is through society. Our culture may influence our perception of certain symbols and give them special meaning. If someone says that a disgruntled employee has gone postal, most Americans know exactly what that means, but say that to an assembly in East Africa, and your interpreter would peer at you sideways with a funny look on his face. Likewise, there are several sayings and parables in the Bible that people from Western societies find difficult to interpret. Occasionally, even colloquialism are used in scriptures. If we are unaware of certain Jewish sayings, we could get the wrong impression of Jesus when reading the following passage. And it says, and Jesus said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That's Luke 9:59-60. Although it sounds like Jesus was being hard, that is not the case. The man's father was still alive when this happened. And when the man said, suffer me first to go bury my father, he actually meant wait until after my father dies and I get my inheritance. Then I'll follow you. Jesus was directly addressing this man's covetousness. He challenged him to forsake his inheritance and take up his cross and follow him. If you're trying to help someone interpret a dream and you're unaware of that person's culture perception of a symbol used in it, there is no possible way that you can offer a correct interpretation because you don't know. You have to know their background, their culture, and everything. And, you know, kind of know a little, well, you can ask God for discernment. I do know that. On the other hand, some symbols first acquire meaning in one culture and later become accepted all over the world. A prime example is a red cross. Although it has no inherent character of its own, come to mean medical aid to all nations. And last, and by far the most important when dealing especially with numbers, a symbol acquires meaning by the way it is used in scripture. By studying the various ways numbers and other objects are used in the Bible, we can see exactly what they mean in our dreams. For numbers, there is no other dependable source of information available. When a dream is from God, and many are, we can always depend upon the more sure word of prophecy. That's in Peter 1st. Chapter 19, verse, to show us exactly what he means, because God does not change. And let me, Yeah, because the red cross sign, and it's the truth, all over the world, they know what that red cross sign means. So, it can mean something different in a dream, though. So I'm going to just pray right now, and next week we're going to start on numbers. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come tonight, Lord, humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you now, Father, to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight just asking you to forgive us, Lord. We repent, we confess, we repent, and we ask for your forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I come now. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice in the blood of Jesus. Cover their families, their husbands, their children, their grandchildren, great-grandfather. I ask you to cover them on tonight. I don't care where they are and what they're doing, Lord. We're asking you to cover them now. Lord, we ask you to cover their minds on tonight, their hearts on tonight. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, Lord. And we bind up the strong man from their lives. And we bind up the strong man. We bind every demonic attack right now in the name of Jesus. Every witch, every wizard, every warlock, we bind you up now, Lord. We ask you right now to set fire to them and burn them up. That one that was on this line with that 984 telephone number, Lord, you know exactly who she is or who they are. I ask you to bind up every demonic force that try to attack our radio broadcast or each one of us, Lord. Bind them up to the foot of Jesus until he be ready to judge them, Lord, and put them in the pit. In the name of Jesus, we ask you on tonight to cover everyone that should have been on the line, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to encamp your angels all around about them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to send legions of angels, of your angels, God, to our homes, Lord, and to fight against them demons that try to attack us and fight against us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you now that you may give wisdom and knowledge in this ministry, wisdom and knowledge, divine wisdom and knowledge that only you can give us, God. In the name of Jesus, and I ask you to protect us from all everything that's not like you. In the name of Jesus, and Father, let us dream the dreams that you would have us to dream. in the name of Jesus. And I ask you now, Lord, to protect, to heal those in the hospital. Lord, those behind prison walls. Lord, those with the COVID virus, Lord, and I ask you to heal right now. Those in nursing homes and hospitals, God, and touch them right now. Those that have court cases in the courtroom, Lord, be an attorney for them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to be a doctor tonight. And I ask you to bless Ollie. Touch her body, heal her tonight in the name of Jesus. And touch my sister, Lord, and my brother, Lord, and touch their bodies on tonight in the name of Jesus. And wherever pain is, God, I ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Then I ask you to touch Apostle Dean's knees and his legs, Lord. I ask you right now to touch him and heal him. And I bind the spirit of infirmity right now in the name of Jesus. He healed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony on tonight, Lord. I ask you to bless everyone. I speak prosperity. I decree and declare prosperity over this line, over this radio broadcast, over your life in the name of Jesus. And be expecting a miracle, says the Lord. Be expecting a miracle. It's coming. Expect a miracle. In the name of Jesus, we pray for Pastor Saul Lewis and his wife and his children and family, Lord. Keep them all covered under the blood of Jesus, and every apostle and prophet and bishop and pastor, preacher, teacher, missionary, minister, priest. Keep them all covered in their families, the ones that you call, Lord, and the ones that you ordain. Lord, just bless them on tonight and bless our enemies. Bless those that try to despitefully misuse us. Bless those that say all manner of evil against us, Lord. Bless them. Forgive them. Bless them. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. And don't forget, on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about numbers, and numbers are really important, especially in your dreams. And so if you all need me for anything, please call me. I love y'all. Y'all have the rest of a good weekend. God bless you. Have a good night. See you Sunday. Bye-bye.